The boy's name is Ralphie Parker. Perhaps you recognize his photograph. He's a 9-year-old boy growing up in Holman, Indiana in the 1940s. And when the movie A Christmas Story opens, he is counting down the days until Christmas, trying to devise a scheme to get himself the gift that he most wants. If he can just convince his mother or his old man, or if he could just get a chance to tell Santa, he might get the toy of his dreams. So when his teacher assigns an essay entitled, What I Want for Christmas, Ralphie thinks his moment has come. Inspired, he pens this, What I Want for Christmas is an official Red Ryder carbine action BB gun with a compass on the stock and this thing that tells time. Ralphie unabashedly pours out his deepest desire on paper in great hopes that it will reach the right person, the one who can make his Christmas dreams come true. Ralphie Parker is just like most kids at this time of the year, dreaming and scheming and making lists and circling toys and catalogs and saying, taking photos on mom's phone in the store or just taking screenshots of things that they found on a phone or an iPad, doing web searches and just saying, what if I could have this? What about this big gift? Kids are doing that, but probably, if we're honest, as grown-ups, we do that too. How can we not be thinking about our Christmas lists, our wants and our needs, and the wants and the needs of our loved ones? The retail world is already at full tilt. No more waiting until after Thanksgiving. The things are already happening, and they are hoping that we will pour out our money on things that they hope to sell. The big box stores had Christmas shelves filled before Halloween. I have already seen trees in yards and living room windows. I saw the first one on top of a car yesterday making its way to someone's home. Christmas music is playing. The streaming services have Christmas movies at the top of every queue. And every day I still get catalogs in the mail. I thought those were a thing of the past, but the catalogs still come in the mail and head straight for the recycling bin. And I lost my place. Oh, catalogs come in the mail, and every day brings new emails, maybe even by the 10-minute period, to tell me what is on sale right now, and there's free shipping today only. Only tomorrow they'll say there's free shipping just today only, and maybe tomorrow only, but just be sure to do it today. The CEOs and CFOs and marketing teams are in full swing. It is go time. Do you remember when Black Friday used to be a day? It was a one-day shopping event. Now it already started, like yesterday, or a few days ago, or today, or tomorrow. At any rate, it's Black Friday week, or month, or year. There's this frenzy happening, trying to get us to want more, to get more, to buy more, to need more, to have more, to add more to our list. We are bombarded with possibilities and ideas about what we should spend our money on, or what we should hopefully spend someone else's money on. There are ads and deals and coupons and commercials, and there are even songs for the season. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Do you remember singing that song? All I want for Christmas is you, says Mariah Carey. How about this one? I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. So that was one of those great ones. And then that ridiculous song called Santa Baby, where the person just lists this ridiculous list of luxurious things that they want. So people think about what they want. But along with our mental list of what we might want is an even longer list of the Christmas to-dos, what we think we need to do in the next 31 days. But do you ever stop and ask yourself, what is it that I really want? What is it that I really want? Do I really want dozens of cookies around to tempt me every day? Do I really want to spend $200 to send Christmas cards to people who will probably get 10 a day and throw them away in a few weeks? Do I really want to spend more? Do I really want more stuff? Do I really want the perfect Christmas tree or another sweater or another coffee mug? Do I really want to do more cleaning or cooking? do I want the stress of trying to find the perfect gift or a large credit card bill in January? Do I want my kids to ask, are there any more presents? Do I want to spend my time waiting in line for Santa, or do I really want to give my money to Target, Amazon, Lego, Walmart, Macy's, Best Buy, etc.? Or is there something deeper? Is there some kind of gnawing desire that gets ignored and swept away by the busyness and the franticness of this season? So today I want to wonder, what if we change the question? Instead of asking ourselves, instead of asking each other, what is it that you want for Christmas? What about this question? What do I want for Advent? Advent is a season that starts next Sunday and is a countdown to Christmas. It's the season of waiting and expecting Jesus to come. It's the season about the coming of Christ into the world in our lives, and it's more than a day. It's the season in the church year where we remember and we look forward. It's a time to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ. In his earthly life, Jesus came in contact with a whole bunch of people. And on numerous occasions, he asks them different questions. And they're recorded in the Gospels, those first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus never once asked anyone, what do you want for Christmas? Never did he ask that question. So let's look at one of his stories and see what it is that Jesus asks. It's found in Luke 18, starting with verse 35. It says this: as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. So in that time, Jesus was always moving on foot, and he was with his disciples, and every time they came to a new town, people would start to hear about it. And at this town, there's a man who sits outside of the city, and he sits there because it's his livelihood. Because he's blind, in that culture, there's really nothing else for him to do but hope for and depend on the good graces of other people. So he sits in the place that he sits every day. But today, something different is happening. Jesus is coming. Verse 36, when he heard the crowd going by, the man asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He hears something new is happening. There's something else going on. There's all these people there. He cannot see who they are or what they're doing. But someone tells him Jesus is coming, and he must have heard about Jesus. It's not just some guy coming down the road. He knows who this is, and he calls out and says, have mercy on me. He wants Jesus to come near. He wants Jesus to see him and to come close. Verse 39, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. There's always that person in every crowd. There's always those gatekeepers saying, you know what, we'll decide who gets to come close to Jesus and who doesn't. So they see this man on the side of the road. They probably see him every day. And instead of saying, let's find a way for him to get to Jesus, they say, no, you just be quiet. What would Jesus want to do with you? Why would Jesus stop and talk to you? You stay there. But this man knows this is probably his only chance. And so he says that she shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then it says Jesus stopped. This is how I picture that. Crowds of people, they're all walking together. They're all talking. They all want to be close to Jesus. There's a whole bunch. And Jesus just stops, and you just see the people start to pile up. Whoa, what happened? Why are we stopping? What's going on? Does anybody see what's happening? Why are we stopping? We were moving into Jericho. Jesus stopped, and he ordered that the man would be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the man replied, Lord, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. And immediately the man received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So here is this man face to face with Jesus being asked the question of a lifetime. What do you want me to do for you? And P.S., it's not like Jesus doesn't know. What do you want me to do, says Jesus. Every day this man sits by the side of the road. This is his livelihood. This is his only means of survival. And every day people pass by. And some people pass him by and give him what they think he wants. Some change for his cup, maybe a little bit of food for the day. Every day people pass by and some of them give him what they think he deserves. Nothing. Or a rebuke. Maybe they think he deserves their apathy or some kind of lecture. But today is infinitely different. Now he stands there in front of Jesus. And he knows that Jesus is different. Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And this man doesn't waste any time. He doesn't ask for anything small. He doesn't ask for a handout. He doesn't ask for bread for the day or even the month. He doesn't even ask for a companion to help him. He asks for the impossible. He asks for the thing that he wants most of all. He asks for his entire life to change. He asks for sight. "Lord, I want to see." It is nothing less than his deepest desire and nothing that anyone else can provide for him. "Lord, I want to see." As followers of Jesus, we're accustomed to asking Jesus to give us what we want and to asking Jesus to provide what we need. And every day we pray. We pray as individuals, we pray in groups, we pray in big gatherings, we pray in whispers, we pray out loud, we pray in our hearts, we plead, we ask, we entreat Jesus to hear and answer. And sometimes we pray for big things. We pray for tumors to shrink. We pray for brain damage to be reversed. We pray for wars to cease and diseases to be eradicated. But even more of our prayers that are uttered are for really small things. "Lord Jesus, help me with my math test. Help me find a good parking place. Help me to feel better. Last week I literally prayed for our sump pump to work. Lord, help my car to start in this cold weather." Or how about this prayer? "Could you help me find my lost keys, wallet, glasses, hearing aids, cell phone, all the things that we could be lost." We run through our lists when we're alone. We text our prayers to our friends to ask them to join us. We pray when we gather as a church. We ask and we ask and we ask, and that is good. That's what we're supposed to do. We're told to ask. And to ask anything in Jesus' name, we're told to come to Jesus with everything. Our asking and praying demonstrates our dependence on Jesus and acknowledges our need for him. But have you ever taken the time to wonder about what you really want? To wonder, what is my deepest desire? What is the thing that I've wanted for so long or that I feel like I need? So today I want to go back to the story. And the beauty of a story is that we can find ourselves in it. So this is going to push comfort level for some of you. So if you're super comfortable, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. If you can't close your eyes because you think someone will steal your purse or reprogram your cell phone, it's okay. If you can't close your eyes because you don't know how you look at your watch, I promise we'll be done on time today. So that said, if you're comfortable enough, close your eyes. If not, it's okay. You can look at your feet. Just try to ignore the people around you and take a deep breath. And now imagine just you. And you have taken your place on the side of a road because you've heard about the big parade. You have heard that Jesus is coming. And you're sitting there on your go-to picnic blanket or in your favorite lawn chair, or maybe you just found a place on the curb, and you can hear the crowd getting louder, and you can see them coming closer, and you know that Jesus will be near soon, and you want more than anything for Jesus to notice you. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to talk to him, to see him face to face? But there are so many people And everybody wants a part of Jesus. But today you're brave. You steel your nerves, you work up your courage, and you call out, "Jesus, over here, it's me, just little old me." But there's so many people vying for Jesus' attention, and a few of them look at you with scorn and say, "Be quiet. Why would Jesus want to take the time to talk to you?" And you almost agree and give up. But this is too big. This is a life moment. So once more you call out, this time a little bit louder, "Jesus? Jesus? Please." And then the whole crowd stops. You can't even see Jesus. Just a crowd of people looking at him, and then they all turn to look at you, and someone says, "He's asking for you." And then they reach out a hand and help you to your feet, and they walk you through the crowd to Jesus. Your heart is beating so fast, you wonder if people can see it moving your clothing. And standing in front of Jesus, you're speechless. But that's okay, because he speaks first. He says your name. And then he asks, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" What do you say? There's Jesus in front of you saying, "It's me asking. There's nobody else. Think about what it is that only I can do." And there's Jesus saying, "I'm asking you, not someone else, not the rest of the world, but you. You have my full attention. What do you want me to do for you?" You can keep your eyes closed or open them again. And maybe you know right now. Maybe you would blurt out loud to Jesus, like the blind man, you would say, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see either physically or spiritually. I want to see and understand better." Maybe you would blurt it out like the man who said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Maybe right now you'd say, "What I want, Lord, is I want to want what you want for me. I want my desire to match your desire for me." Maybe you would say to Jesus, "I want to change or be transformed." Maybe you would say, "I want to know that I am really loved." Maybe you would say, "I want to stop feeling like I'm not good enough." Maybe you know right now what you would say, and maybe you don't, but that's okay, because here comes Advent, a time to be able to sit with the question. And I invite you to think about making this a practice in Advent. It really starts next Sunday, but you could start today. And for the days ahead, take some time every day to ask yourself, to sit quietly, to write in your journal, to pen an essay, "All I want for Advent." To seek God's will and his word, and to wonder, "What do I want Jesus to do for me?" Whatever it is, make it something different than our everyday prayers. This is go big or go home. That man in that story, he asks for what seems impossible. He asks for the thing that will change his life. So look in your heart and find something that will last and make a difference, not just in the week to come, but in all the years to come. I think St. Francis of Assisi heard Jesus ask that question, and he answers the question with, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace." And he pens that beautiful poem. In the Old Testament, when Solomon becomes king of the nation of Israel, God asks him, "You can have anything that you want. What do you want to be the king?" And he says, "Give me wisdom. Wisdom beyond my years, wisdom that will make it possible to govern these people." What is something that God would grant that would change your life, that would move you closer to Jesus and keep you in that place of abiding for good? In her book, Christ-Shaped Character, Helen Sapero writes this: naming our true longing will mean being as honest as we are able to be. It will mean being willing to change direction rather than stubbornly pushing forward. Next Sunday, this season of Advent begins, and we begin to count down to Christmas. But before we get caught up in the bustle and the obligations and the list and the frantic money, energy, and time-stealing activity at all, let's take the time to pause and to breathe, to call out for Jesus' attention and then believe that we have it, and to hear him ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then to spend time asking him to help you know how to answer and pay attention to see what he will do. All I want for Advent is, would you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you for the story of this man that you met. Lord, no one else seemed to have any time for him. They didn't even think you would want to have time for him, and yet there you stopped. And out of the whole crowd, you found your way to him to ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Today, Lord, we're trying to imagine what that would be like to look at you, to stand face to face with you, and hear you ask that question. And we believe that you are. So help us, Lord, to take some time to find a place to be quiet and to listen and to wonder, to open up our hearts and have you reveal to us what it is that we want most. You knew what that man wanted before you even asked. You know what's at the deepest part of our hearts. Help us to be brave enough to ask and to join you in the work of transforming us. Thank you for this season that is coming, and we know it gets busy and full, and there are so many things to do. And we pray that you would give us time with you. Time with you. All we want for Advent, Jesus, is you.